Welcome to the Fittest Podcast in Oakland, where your favorite coaches talk everything to help make you a better person inside and outside the gym. With the Fittest Podcast in Oakland. This week, we want to help you overcome hardship. We also want to show you how the gym makes you stronger and more capable to face and overcome hardships. Because we all have hardships in our lives. So why not be better for them? So sit back, listen up, and let's learn how hardships are a good thing for us and how we are better by going through them.
See, you didn't have to wait for me to say anything. I was ready to go.
Sometimes, folks, we should tell Robin to think before she speaks. No, but this was a good time.
That was a good one. Struggle is real.
Also, you can tell she thought about that for a long time and was like really excited.
I practiced it in the mirror.
Record button. just trying to prove her struggle today.
I love this subject. I'm excited to talk about it because I think it's one of those things that, those benefits we get out of what we do that you don't really see it right away. You're like, I'm going to start this fitness program because I want to lose weight or get strong or get back in shape or whatever the words are. I don't think you go into our gym at your free session going, I want to simulate struggle and hardship so that I can build resilience in my, you know what I mean? So what are we talking about?
We're talking about first world problems.
Yes, absolutely. That's a really good way of putting it.
Well, I mean, that's legitimately the only reason why we work out, we train, and we do this is because we live very soft, comfortable lives. And I don't mean that in a mean way. I'm like, thank God we do, because having done farm work just a little bit, I don't think I would want to do it all day, all night, all life, all this stuff.
So we should do a little disclaimer. We are going to talk about the benefits of hardship and struggle. That's our subject today. Mm-hmm. But we definitely do not want to imply or state in any way that our clients and ourselves, we don't have real hardships and we haven't had real hardships in the past. We all do, and we get you. We know life is pain. We do. So we're not trying to say that. Mm-hmm. We're just saying, like, in general, our lifestyles have evolved to be a little less physically taxing. Maybe mm-hmm. we can say that for most of us.
Well, and I think we can all find someone who has it harder than us.
Absolutely.
And if you can't, come with me and I'll show you. Yeah,
definitely.
So I think that's where I come from with it is it's like.
Or you even a version of yourself that at some point had it a lot harder than you do now.
Exactly.
You
know? There's always someone we can point to and go, okay, that person had it tougher than me mm-hmm. or this person had this. And the way I look at it as ease is you wake up, your house is warm most often. Like you don't have to. There's a way in which to heat your house in that. Pretty simply, as Robin just so eloquently demonstrated, there's ways in which to stay out of the weather. As she walked outside, hood up, trying to protect her perfectly groomed hair.
Yeah.
And that things like that don't bother us. You probably have food on hand, you know, something to consume pretty quickly, pretty easily. You don't have to hunt, kill, gather, farm, anything like that.
Steal.
Yep. Good point. Any of those things. Most often we are not, our lives are not at physical threat and danger, aside from maybe our drinking ability.
Our wardrobe. I just dribbled my drink down the front of my sweatshirt. You all must know what's happening right now. And instead of supporting me, Ben is mocking me.
No, it just made me laugh at a meme joke I heard yesterday where someone said, you're not supposed to shake your protein powder up till it's fine and mixed in. It's supposed to be gunky and globby because that's how it sticks to the muscles you want it to stick to as it goes into your body.
What? Wait a minute. We need to put a pin in that and do a whole podcast on that.
No, it's complete jokery. It's of bunk. Yes, me putting a glob of half washed, half dry protein powder does not go directly to my biceps because I want it to, or because it's globby. Anyway, back to
hardship and struggle,
it,
and lack thereof.
Just for the most part,
we are not in survival mode.
Exactly,
yeah, we have all the things we need to survive. We're not in danger of starving or
yeah. But on the side of that, we also have 10 other things that now signal to us that we are in starvation mode. AKA, that is the way your phone's designed. That is the way you drive a 60 to 80 mile an hour vehicle to wherever you go throughout your day. That is, you name the news outlet that you like, the world is ending and dying and all of these things. That is, you step on the internet for one day at a time. You know, that all of those things make life a different style of struggle, hardship, and problem. And what I think we're going to cover today and help people understand is we dose struggle, hardships, and problems in the gym so that when they hit you in real life, you can have strategies, manipulations, and ways in which to overcome or debrief from those life challenges and problems. Yep. So, and that's the biggest key when we look at this is like, how do I utilize the work I do in the gym to make the struggle I face outside of the gym easier or better?
Yeah. I mean, the reason I wanted to do this is, I mean, we talk about motivation. We've done podcasts on it and reasons you come into the gym. There are a lot of them. I know I have a bunch of when I don't feel like working out, you know, those days, you just don't feel like coming. You don't feel like working out your, whatever your reason is, what gets you to come? I know one of them is, I'll sleep better. One of them is, I know if I don't move today, then tomorrow is just going to be harder. But one of them lately, that's just been in my head. I don't know about you, Ben, but this is going to make me stronger. I was just talking, I cannot remember the client I was talking to about how as I've aged and they agreed to, things have gotten scarier. Like when you're young, you're not scared of anything. And then as you get older, at least as I get older, little things have gotten like, oh, maybe I don't want to do that. You know, you kind of hold back. And so I look forward to, especially the really rough ones. Like we just did 24.1. That was rough. It was scary. It did not want to do it. But all through it, I'm like, put yourself in this position because the next time you do it, your brain and your body will say, you can do this. So having that like strength of mind and body that I can do this, even though it's awful and I won't be as scared. So.
Yeah, it's that simple.
Yeah. So, you know, when you're the next time you're thinking, especially these competition or whatever, you see a lot of burpees or you see a lot of running or something makes you go, oh, I don't want to do that. Remember, if you do it, you're going to get yourself all the fitness benefits, but you're also going to get that resilience, that resilience we talked about. Go back and listen to our resilience podcast. But that's one of the benefits. It just makes you better at handling stuff.
I think it also shows you where you think the limit is and where it actually is. In good and bad ways, like people will overshoot the limit and think they can do far greater than they can. And then they realize, oh, nope, can't do that. And that's okay. And then people will undershoot the limit or go, oh, I have to stop right now. And you know, if Ben or Robin is standing over you and says, do one more squat, you do one more squat. Yeah. You probably do three more squats if we're standing over telling you to do one more.
It's one of the reasons you'd probably perform better in a class than you do if you're like working out by yourself in your garage. I mean, some people can do that, but I think most of us really need that push.
There's a difference between self-accountability and group accountability plus, I don't know what the word is, because it's not group. It's like leader or mentor accountability. And that's where the coach comes in, because they're going to go, they're going to see with their expertise and go, no, you're safe. You're okay. Do another.
Yeah.
It was the conversation with 24.1 of, I can't do this dumbbell.
Yeah.
And they would literally rip it above their head and be fine with it.
I know something about that.
I actually was not talking about you this time. There was a morning person who you could tell had not been doing that heavy of dumbbell. That's fine. Do not care. But when it comes to the challenge of the day, and that I told this person, let's see. And they went over there and they ripped off 2 or 3 reps. I can't remember how many. They weren't the prettiest, most beautiful reps, but they were muscle snatches and they were smooth. They were strong. They were just uncomfortable. And so, yes, if it had been a normal, like, Tuesday in August, I probably would have been like, yeah, go back down to the 40. No big deal. Let's just move and go fast today. But the day was this. This is when we talk about stimulus and situation and training kind of feels. That was the day in which I was like, no, it's not 50 reps unbroken. It's, can you do it twice unbroken? And that's where people need to flip their heads once in a while and go, oh yeah, this is supposed to be that.
And heavy. Part of training, I would argue, would be going and doing that one that you don't normally go grab. Because I'll tell you my personal experience with, so it was a 35-pound dumbbell for me. And if I was going to go do a heavy snatch, I'm doing little rabbit ears. Before that moment, I would have been like, okay, 30 is heavy. That's like a moderate to heavy weight for me. Now I know that isn't necessarily heavy for me. Now it's maybe going to be 35. Will I do 35 every time? Probably not. But those days when it's like, you should be able to do 5, but not 10, or this should feel heavy, instead of grabbing that 30, I'm going to grab that 35. So that's because my brain and my body now know you can actually do that. Where before it was like, ooh, no, I'm scared. What if it falls on my head? You know, like, so that's a great example.
Yeah.
All right. So we put build self-efficacy. I mean, that's kind of the same as resilience, like that confidence. And you do this all the time with people. You're like, no, you can do it. And then the next time they know they can do it, right? We just kind of talked about that.
Well, and you don't have to actually be successful to build that self-efficacy.
It's a hard word.
I swear. Because I've had that happen with people and it's been failures. And what it actually has shown them is like, wait a minute, I'm not dead.
Yeah, I didn't.
Or literally Robin's case, like maybe they don't get the snatch, but they didn't drop it on their head.
Yeah.
You know, like, and so you don't actually have to be massively successful when I push you or tell you. What you do have to do is go, oh, okay, now I see where this breaks down. And part of it is literally just not saying to yourself, I can't do this. Part of it is literally just going, let me see what happens. Yeah. And I think with that overcoming of fear, it's less about being fearless. It's about having courage when fear approaches or when it comes. Like, we don't want zero fear in our lives. If you have that, you have big problems because you don't know what's going on, most likely. But at the same time, we want to be able to act under fear. My funny example of this is everyone who gets worried about their heart rate in a workout, is you actually want to be able to perform more consistently at a higher heart rate, aka when you're more stressed out, when the system is going haywire. If you can continue to execute and move and do things, you're actually more fit. You don't have to necessarily move up your max heart rate, but if you can say, hey, at this 80, 90% heart rate, I'm okay and I'm not dying and I can still stay moving here, you're going to be better off than the person who's like, well, I just went above 130 beats. I'm no longer in my zone 2. This is not going to work. And it's like, yeah. So now you live a life stuck here.
In mediocrity.
Not even mediocrity.
No, I didn't mean that.
Well, no, that's kind of harsh. And I actually love that harshness. You know me. But more so like, what the fuck are you going to do when you want to go have connections in a bedroom with your significant other? And you go, nope, we got to go nice and slow and boring. Nah, God, I hope not. What the hell are you going to do when the building catches on fire? Are you just going to sit there and go, heart rate, heart rate, heart rate, heart rate? Now I get it. we don't want to just stress you out every day. And there's the red light, the green light, and yellow light days and all of that. And I talk to people about that all the time. It's literally my conversation after class every day. But one thing you can do is go, yes, I'm at a red light day. That just means you hit that stress point much sooner. Mm-hmm. But you can still go hit it. You can still go touch it. It just happens much quicker. Your heavy feels heavy sooner. But it doesn't mean you get to make it look easy and tell me it's heavy either.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's
more benefits of struggle. We put life is pain, be prepared. And we talked about that a little with the fire and, So inevitably there are going to be bad things that happen in your life. There are going to be hard things you have to do, whether it's a conversation, whether it's a grief event, whether it's losing, you know, or being in a car accident, who knows? That will happen. That's just reality. So no, you can't be prepared for a catastrophic event by doing deadlifts, but you can get a little bit stronger in that so you can handle it a little bit better, right?
Yeah, I'm going to jump to a note I wrote because it ties into this note here. I wrote down below language and a lack of language to describe situations and words. If you study any other languages and stuff, you realize, oh, wow, they have a way different way of saying this. And then if you study like Stoicism and Greek philosophy or even, you name it, Chinese, all these things, people use words to describe things differently all the time. And that's where when Robin talks about life is pain, life is struggle, I think other people begin to look at that and go, oh, but that's what makes life good. The rainy days make the sunny days better.
Yeah, and, we're coming to that down the list. Gotcha. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And that's where like, it sounds dramatic to say life is pain and this and that. But when you actually like look at it, you go, yeah, none of this was supposed to be perfect. Because I'll give you the best example. Find the spoiled brat kid that you've grown up with or lived with and then realize, oh yeah, they cry over the dumbest, stupidest, most meaningless things in the world because that's the hardest thing they've ever done. Mm-hmm. Whereas you all can go, nah, this ain't that bad because Ben's not yelling at me to go faster on my burpees when I'm dying, you know, right now. And you've done hard things in the gym. You might think, oh, no, I don't do what so-and-so does in the gym. It doesn't matter. It's what's hard for you today. And what is this? And that's why you kind of see me always challenge people and go, nah, but you made that look easy. So that's not really that hard for you today. So let's find something a little harder for you and build and grow from there.
So if you are struggling to struggle in the gym and that's like, you guys, I just don't want to put myself in that position. It's too hard. Remember that humans were designed and evolved to be in this place of surviving and reproducing, not happiness, right? So we were designed to survive. That means difficult tasks are going to be part of what's going to make us better. We need to struggle and strive, find safety, fight off threats, all of that stuff we were designed to do. So if you're not getting that in your life, come to the gym to get it. You were meant to be that in that place, not all the time, but You really weren't meant to be like happy and joyful and in comfort all the time. So if you want to be like this full, complete, healthy human, the way you were meant to be, that genetic potential, you need this struggle. You need hardship. You need a little bit of pain. Right?
Yes. The big thing I would point to people in that is just because you're in pain does not make it not fun, does not make you not happy. Does not mean, you know, how many of us have laid on the ground and then started laughing after a terrible workout because it's over and now we're commiserating?
Well, we always say people do not come to the job for the feeling during the workout. They come to the gym for the feeling after the workout.
Exactly. And then we learned that what I will remind people of is you learn to chase that. And that is actually a beautiful thing.
Yes. I really like that you said that chasing that struggle and that pain is part of what makes what we do fun. It is. It is. It, people say that, like, you guys are CrossFitters are sadists. It's like, you could say that, but there is something so grand. And we, if we go down this list of benefits, I think they kind of play into each other. The gratitude you get, like when you're done, and the gratitude you get that you don't have to be in this, this feeling every day, like mm-hmm. that you don't have a horrible job where, I mean, think of some of the horrible things, or just the past humans had to forage and they had to hunt and they had to clean. Have you ever tried to clean an animal before you eat it? I mean, all of these things are hardships.
I got a better one.
Sorry, I'm going to lose my place.
Go, finish.
Anyway, so, you know, think about maybe your past self. Think about past humanity, the Middle Ages, all of that stuff, and be grateful. So the struggle creates that gratitude, yeah. Right? So what's example?
I'm so sorry for cutting you off.
But that's okay.
I had to get my poop in.
Goodness.
Well, you talked medieval.
Yeah.
How many of us have had to actually poop in a hole or a bucket or behind a fence post recently? In a non-flushable toilet.
That is truly a struggle. Here's the other thing.
As much as we might joke about being smelly, I think most of us have taken a shower in the last week. Could you imagine being in medieval times where baths were only for a certain class of people? Mm-hmm. And it was few and far. Even them, it was for multiple days you would not bathe. Like,
well, anytime you're in that struggle, it doesn't have to be. I mean, you use the dirty shower. You go camping. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you camp, but your dad said you didn't growing up.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I know what it is, though, and I've done that.
So you've been camping. You've been camping for, let's say, 3 or 4 days. That first shower when you get back, exactly. It feels so great. Yeah, so that gratitude for the good things in life that you have, it spikes it. It makes it more stark in relief when you have to struggle.
Well, and it's the beauty of loving the process over the end point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you hear it all the time from people. They got to the peak of the mountain and then looked over and were like, I want to go to the top of that mountain now. And what you then come to realize is the ones who do it most often, the ones who do it best, they're the ones that just love the process.
Yeah.
They're the ones that love the, you know, late nights at work grinding on a problem they can't solve. They're the ones that love the 100th burpee in the middle of a terrible workout. They're the ones that go to the gym and keep shooting free throws when no one else is around. Like, that to them is the thing that they love and embrace. And you don't have to love the gym per se, but you can love the things it teaches you in moments to know that when you go to the things you love, you're more grateful for them.
Yeah, and you're proud of yourself. I think that's another thing people chase. Okay, and then these two go together, these benefits of struggle. Increased empathy, I think they go together. Increased empathy and then that shared struggle, how it strengthens your relationships. So increased empathy. So knowing once you're in that pain, like, I don't want to be dark, but let's say you've never like experienced the loss of a loved one. Or let's say I remember, I'll take this one. The loss of a pet. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I never had pets growing up. I didn't really understand what it felt like to lose a pet. And I had sympathy to it, but it was very rational. It wasn't this empathetic feeling. Of course, you know what happened. I got my first dog and you saw me when we lost our dog. I was gutted for a long time. After that experience, anytime someone around me loses their pet, I am just the first one to give them a hug. I'm like, I feel you. And it created that empathy. And now all of these people in the world that have lost pets, like, I have this commonality and this bond with them because I get it. So that wasn't as dark as I was going to go. So you're welcome. And then that empathy. So if you, that's what this whole like tribe of CrossFitters. So if someone does CrossFit in Paris, they did 24.1, you don't know them, they're French, whatever. Can't even understand them. You know what they felt like. You know what it felt like. So you can empathize with them. Now you have that shared bond with these people. And then the shared struggles that we every day, the people next to us in class and how we love to talk about it, you know, mm-hmm. And the way that connects you and bonds you. I love that part of it.
the other side to the empathy piece is when you've had to put up with shit and go through shit, you then have more sympathy for those going through something, or your pissed-offness is now gone a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to get mad at somebody for cutting you off in traffic when you're fatigued, tired, and running on happy endorphins post 100 burpees for time. Like, you're going to be far more like, oh, my patience is much higher now. My thing is much higher because I've already done the hard thing. The hard thing is done. You know, you're not going to freak out on someone at work because they dropped the coffee. You're going to be like, okay, I'm good. I'm tired, but I'll be okay. You know, like those things, because you've done harder things, make the littler things you're more empathetic to. You're more like, yeah, this is okay. We don't have to freak out about this. Are you going to make me do any more burpees today? Nope. Okay. I'm not mad. I'm going to go along about my feelings. The other side to what Robin's talking about is if you study groups who go through hard things, you see far greater connection. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what happens when you go through basic training. This is what happens when sports teams do off-season training together. It is more of a, we did this together to bond around a hard thing.
Team building. They simulate it in corporate and mm-hmm. in the business world too. You know, it's a way to get people to connect and to support each other. And it's great. It's a great part of what we do. I mean, it's a huge part of what we do.
Well, it's a reason why we have accountability to one another, because you don't want to suffer alone. And when someone is suffering next to you, you feel better about it.
Hell yeah.
So therefore, now you want that person who hasn't been there in a week to show up to class.
Yeah.
You're like, where's so-and-so?
I need my security blanket.
Exactly.
All right. You wrote language.
Yes. And this is what I was talking about earlier a little bit. I find that oftentimes we struggle to communicate words for what they actually mean. So we're talking all about the benefits of struggling, benefits of hardship.
Yes.
And I think the English language actually lacks a word there, because I think there's two sides to that piece of struggle.
Okay.
When you actually start to break it down, like, you know, you talked losing a dog. I think that's far greater of an emotional travesty and struggle versus the struggle you feel in the middle of your third back squat in a set of five. And I don't know how to change that word per se, but both of them are hard. Both of them are different. But I think when you start to go and look at this, you go, no, I don't need to chase death and go around people and feel death in my life. But I do need to chase this struggle of back squats making me stronger.
Well, I think they're the same in the way we're talking about building resilience. So you go through something, whether it's a heavy back squat or losing a loved one, you, as horrible as it is, you know you can do it. So for instance, take my dog example. I was like, I could never have another dog. I can never go through this again. Yes, I can, because I just did. You know? Mm-hmm. And I do have another dog, but mm-hmm. yes, you can. So you did it. So now you know you can do it. So that's where we're talking struggle. And all we're talking about is degrees, right? Yes. A back squat isn't as gutting as losing your loved one. Right. But the concept is the same, you know, and that's what we're kind of talking about, the concept. And what we do is we simulate that in the gym, but there's real life struggles out there too.
Yeah, and I think what I'm trying to say is you don't have to artificially generate more struggle per se. Like, let me clarify.
I'm not sure I agree with that.
No, I get what you, I mean, I know why your face just lit up. I get it. Because you do, literally what we do in the gym is an artificial struggle. What I mean by that is when people talk to me and they're like, well, I need to crush my soul every day when I come to the gym. It's like, no, you need to find enough of a struggle to make you better today. without beating yourself up and chasing something else. And then the other side of it is, I used to write a quote on the whiteboard for myself of, it's not supposed to be easy. It doesn't mean it can't be easy and doesn't mean it happens to be easy at times, but you don't get to get pissed off when things are hard. You don't get to get upset when you have to struggle or have to deal with things. You actually get to embrace it. Where I have a guarantee, Robin, you never celebrated the fact that your dog died, but you might celebrate the fact that you did miserable back squats and even failed a back squat because you now know where the limit is. You see what I'm saying when I talk about that funkiness of the word struggle?
No, I understand. I understand. And the example you were using in the gym, this is one aspect of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a gymnastic skill, mm-hmm. A max heavy squat, they're all going to be different. And again, it's not going to be the same feel. If you're really good at handstand walking, you're not going to be like struggling when you see handstands on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are like really scared of maxing out your back squat, you might be a lot more scared than someone who's just like, oh, I love heavy lifting. So yeah, the person that comes in, I want to crush my soul. I think that's a whole different subject. That's not what we're talking about necessarily. I think that's more about people wanting to get out of their head and that kind of more that mental health issue. But this is just really the stuff where you're like, I am so scared. I am scared. I am uncomfortable. I am nervous. I have anxiety about this. That's the kind of struggle. Those are the things that are going to make you find that hardship, find that place where you're going to make change in your brain and you're going to make change in your body. And you're going to be like, I can do better because I just did that thing. It's not the same as I'm going to crush my soul. It's like, but maybe you're scared of that feeling. And that's the one. Like, I don't know if half the people that did the burpees and snatches 24.1, I don't know if they had any idea what they were getting into until they were halfway through. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But we knew, I knew what it was going to be like. Mm-hmm. Right. So that was one where I was like, I wish I did not have to do this.
Yeah. Well, and then to the other side of that, I saw a lot of people when faced with that level of discomfort and struggle, shut themselves down a little bit. I can't do another burpee. I can't do another snatch. And it was like,
Totally normal. And we're going to talk about that as we get down the list a little longer. Yeah.
But also they then turned around and did it. So this is where the balance of comfort versus discomfort comes into play.
Yeah. You're not going to get stronger if you quit. You know, it's the doing it anyway. It's just like courage. It's not being not afraid. It's doing it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of courage that we saw during that workout. People were like, and it was the people that they didn't know it was coming. Maybe we did, but they didn't know it was coming in that round of, oh, you have 21 more burpees, for instance, where the face is just like, oh no, I don't want to be here anymore. I want to go home, you know, but they stuck with it and they did it. And not one of those people will tell you they are regret doing it.
Yeah.
And how much prouder you feel. And then the next time you see something like that, you're like, oh, I know this is going to be a bad one, but I also know I'm going to put my head down and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we're talking about. Okay. So, you put physio signal to drive change.
If there is no signal that you are in struggle or facing hardship or facing challenge, your body doesn't change. So for all of you that would like to change something, however you would like to define that, whether it's aesthetically or, and I emphasize the right syllable there.
Like, what is going on?
For a reason. Or it's health markers, or it's the number on the scale, or any one of those things. If there is no struggle, there is no change.
If nothing changes, nothing changes. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
For sure.
And it doesn't have to be this catastrophic struggle or massive struggle, but you got to signal something.
Sometimes it's just hard to do something differently.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not a harder task, mm-hmm. it's just not ingrained. So it's harder. Does that mean? Well, we talked about that in the habits podcast, but yeah.
Well, this goes back to what is the most mentally strong athlete. And sometimes the most mentally strong athlete is the one that goes, no, I've overtrained the last 3 days and I need to take today off, mm-hmm. instead of going to the gym again. That is the bigger struggle for some people, because they need to signal recovery and not just cope with going to the gym for the fifth time in a row.
Yeah.
That's where people need to understand is like, oh, this is the struggle too. It might not be something physically hard or anything wrapped around the gym. It might be, I have to pay attention in the warm up and not get bored and stop doing this stretch exercise or this activation exercise just because it's boring and simple.
We talk about all the time, there's no magic pill. It's not an easy fix, especially the things you want the most. The things you want the most are going to be the ones you got to work at, you know, and it's going to be struggle and it's going to be hardship.
Yeah.
I like this one. I think this is one of the benefits you get outside by facing what we make you do inside the gym. And let's be honest, people don't say no to us. They don't quit and walk out the door. They do it every time. So we do not let you avoid. You come in here, you don't want to avoid. So when you go outside, and this, I'm going to just be personal again. This is one of the things I am really good at doing, is avoiding the hard stuff, right? And not just the physically hard stuff, the hard conversations, the hard tasks. They're only hard because I haven't started them yet. You know, learning what you do in here will help you go, the more you avoid it, the harder it's going to be. So just put your head down and do it. You're not going to die. It's going to be over. You're going to feel better when it's over. And you start learning that. I'm sure a lot of you are more mature than I am and have learned that a long time ago. But avoiding your problems does not make them go away. I keep trying that and I'm telling you, it's not working no matter how many times. So avoiding your problems is, you know, face that, go through the tunnel of chaos. A friend of mine used to say, stop avoiding it. Just go through the tunnel of chaos. You'll come out the other side.
Do the dishes in the sink.
Do the dishes in the sink before you go to bed.
Well, you know, whatever you need to. I know that's Robin's rule, but some people need to go to bed. So go to bed and then wake up in the morning and do your dishes. But avoiding them is not going to have them magically become done.
The little elves are not going to come.
No, they don't happen. They don't happen. Yeah. So, and telling me that, well, they can just pile up there, works until you don't have any more dishes to eat food on. So that's what I take out of that whole statement from Robin, is you have to do the hard things, no matter what that is, no matter what that looks like, no matter what that feels like to you. You have to do the hard things, otherwise the hard things will get much harder.
Well, you'll learn, and then your brain will learn. The more you do it, the more your brain will learn you can do this. So don't avoid it, because the best choice for you is to do it. Mm-hmm. That, because we've had this history of every time you wait too long or you avoid it, it's not better. It's better when you do it right away. So your brain and your body will start to learn that. Won't make it easier, but it'll make you go, I know there's a benefit to this. Just like, you know, going to the gym 3 or 4 days a week is better than skipping 2 weeks and trying to come back. We all know that, right? We all know if you don't go today, tomorrow's going to be harder. So just do it.
Yeah, I crush a lot of people's souls when they ask me, do burpees get easier? And I go, no.
They don't get easier, but you get more comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yes.
It's the classic one. If you've never done hold a barbell and you put someone in that front rack position and their wrists are all, and their neck is getting squished and they're just like, ugh. And I'm like, yeah, that never gets comfortable. You just get more comfortable being in that position. It's a weird little thing. But yes, you get more comfortable being uncomfortable. We should just make that our tagline. Drop the mic and turn off the recorder.
Yeah. And that's the whole key, is finding ways in which you realize that, okay, yeah, this sucks. It's very uncomfortable, but it's done.
And speaking of comfort, I mean, I'm going to circle this back to our healthy lifestyle challenge and a lot of the conversations I have with people about their struggles with the lifestyle choices they make. And it's just so much easier. And even in the gym to avoid the struggles in the moment by comforting yourself, by seeking that comfort instead of pushing through it. But that does not make you more resilient, and it doesn't make the next time easier. And there's going to be a next time. So, I'm going to use wine and cookies, right? So, you know, you've had a tough day, you're stressed, you're in coma, you're like, I just need some wine and cookies to feel better. Or maybe you set a timer for 10 minutes and you kind of sit in it, and maybe you breathe or you read a book or you take a walk instead of going right for that quick comfort. Maybe you try to deal with the stuff a little. I'm not saying you shouldn't sometimes have that, those comfort foods, those comfortable, get in your bed and just put the covers over your head and don't deal with it. I get it. That's being human, but it's not going to fix the problem. And it's just going to prolong the experience. What do you think about that?
I have nothing to say about that. That's simple. And that's it. That is the magic of what we do. Is we give you an opportunity to find the right struggle along a plan of struggles to get better. And that is, I'm not going to the gym today because I slept 4 hours last night. It sucks. I don't get to see my friends. I don't get to get the workout endorphins. But I know that this is the better, more challenging choice to make today. Or, yeah, I don't want to do another burpee, Ben. This hurts. Yeah. It does. Go down, lay down, stand up. I don't know how many people I said that to when they were hunched over, standing there, not going down to their next burpee. And all they had to do was lay down. And they did it right after I said something. So I'm like, is it that you couldn't do it? Or you just needed someone to nudge you? The best example was wall balls last night. Someone's like, I can't squat that deep. I can't squat that deep. And I told them, I was like, well, every time I said squat deeper, you squatted perfectly. And then you do it again for 3 reps until I turn my back and turn around again. And they go, really? And I'm like, yeah, you just don't know where you are in space. That is your struggle. So pay attention. Yeah. And that's the beauty of it, is it is easy to seek that comfort or get out of that place. It was, well, Ben, the 35-pound dumbbell is so much easier to do. Yeah, that's not the point today. It's also easier to sit in the lounge chairs in the lounge than actually lift the dumbbell.
Well, we make jokes about this all the time, and only you newbies do it, but the water bottle. It's a 10-minute AMRAP, and I'm going to say the trip to the bathroom probably is the same thing. You don't need to pee unless you've put it off for a long time. You don't need to pee. You definitely don't need to take a water break to get through your 10-minute, but it's that comfort seeking. And I get it. Trust me. I am the queen of taking the nice long walk between the jump rope and the wall ball because I need that moment of comfort, you know, or taking that 10 extra seconds in the EMOM to breathe. That I call it strategy, and it is a strategy, but it's also trying to find a little comfort in there because it hurts. Right. And so grabbing that water bottle, and you see it, especially with new people, because they're just like, shot their body and their brain are going, you can't do this. This is too hard. And they're like, I need something. And then they find out over time, yes, you can do it. Not only can you do it, you can do more. And then you can do a little more and you can do a little more. So we're not saying not to be comfortable ever, but maybe, you know, push into that discomfort a little bit each time, you'll get better and better at it.
Well, I'll give an example to that. I have a very, very good friend. He does very well in discomfort. This is a gentleman I saw turn blue on a rower. Like, that's how fast he was working. That's how hard he was pushing himself. It was an open workout with burpees and rowing. And this man turned blue. And I'm not talking like, oh, he's a nice shade of blue. I'm talking violet.
This sounds like a medical emergency.
Yes. But this is where this man could go. Okay. This is his mental strength and his mental prowess and his ability to shut his brain off and run through the wall. It's probably why he's a PhD physicist and an all-conference football player. Okay. He does hard things.
Okay.
But he is also one of the biggest comfort seekers you will ever meet in your life. This man, if he is on the couch and his food is out of reach, he will call you over to bring it to him. Like, he is one of those.
Got it.
So one thing he figured out in training, when he needed comfort to execute better in a workout or do this, and he took the sport of CrossFit far more seriously than most of us do. What he would do was he would set little catwalks, like Robin talked about walking from the jump rope to the wall ball, where he would set a point that he would go touch. So for us, it could be the rig. He'd go touch the rig, and the moment he touched the rig, he would have to immediately walk back and lift the barbell. And he couldn't get around it. He couldn't shake it. It was touch and go. Like, he touched it and he went right back to it and did his work. So he got his comfort, but that triggered him to go do the work. And that's how you, if you need that, set that up, make that plan, make that twist. That is why, like, when I talked about burpees and strategy this past week, I was like, just lay down. Because all of us are probably somewhat comfortable laying on the ground and breathing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he'll listen to this, but Dimitri struggles with burpees a lot. Him and I have worked on them. We're working and we're building him back and all that.
A lot of people struggle with burpees. That's a pretty universal struggle.
Yes. But he did something yesterday watching him do it. And we talked about, I'm like, hey, when you get tired, when you get exposed and you don't want to do another burpee, lay on the ground for 30 seconds. He's like, really? I'm like, yeah, just lay there. I won't yell at you. I won't say anything. But when you go walk over here to your water bottle or you go walk away, I'm going to be on your ass. And he did it. And he did so much better than he thought he could just by doing that. And you're like, but Ben, he's not doing anything. I'm like, oh, he's doing a lot.
So I would consider that a strategy. And those are really good. He was perfectly struggling in a hardship. So he didn't need to create any more.
Exactly.
We talk about this with a double under. You miss a double under. Take a breath. Take five breaths because that's a strategy so that you can do better. I would challenge, if you are looking for more hardships, think about the things that scare you when you see it on the whiteboard. KG will back me up on this. Dr. Gustafson, she taught me this term. It's a horrible one. Are you ready? Immersion therapy. Okay. This is how you get past it. When we first got assault bikes, I think I've told you this story, Ben. I still hate it. Mm-hmm. But I was actually developing an avoidant and a fear of them because of the way I felt after I got off. You know, mm-hmm. I just said you feel good after the no, not with the assault bike. And combining them with burpees in particular was making me have to run to the bathroom and throw. Like, it was just, it was awful. And I was starting to avoid it. So I was talking to a coach that used to work here, and he's like, you need to just do it. So he created a series of burpee and assault bike. If you guys ever want them, I have them. Workouts. They were like EMOMs, and they were stuff where I could not strategize my way out of them. And I would do one every Sunday at Open Gym, and still hate that combination. Still don't like me, and I'm not good at the assault bike, but I'm not afraid of it anymore. So if you do have a fear of something, not a legit fear, like I have a fear of heights, I don't want to go up the rope, we can work on that too. But like an avoidance of something, running, whatever it is, I encourage you to show up on those days and put yourself in those positions, because you will get more comfortable at that discomfort.
And that's the beauty of that immersion. I actually have helped someone with coming over heights issues. And it's little immersions of, okay, you're going to stand on this box and you're going to grab this pull-up bar that you wouldn't jump to.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to stand there and you're going to feel this. And then I'm going to have you lower down till you get back to that box a little bit, or you're in front of that box and then have to get back on it. Like that. And that's what I talk about a little bit of, like, yes, do the hard things, immerse yourself in the hard things and learn that. And then the other side of that is, okay, what are my coping mechanisms that help me through the hard things? And that's what Robin found when she immersed herself in the terribleness of biking and burping. It was, oh yeah, if I breathe like this when I bike, if I just don't say this sucks in the middle of these burpees, it doesn't suck as bad. And that is how you can start to flip the script and get better in both ways.
Like, and conversely, if there's a comfort behavior that's not serving you, try to little by little give that security blanket up a little bit.
Yeah.
Fear is a real thing. And I get that. Let us help you through the things you're very afraid of, like a box jump or a rope climb. We want to help you with that. But it's just avoiding it because it's uncomfortable. That's what we'd like you to really think about. Maybe I can push a little bit more into that discomfort. The rewards, as we've listed them, are many.
And that's the real magic in what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Is we'd give you the struggle, we give you the hardship, and then we help you develop your own tools and techniques to cope, manage, and get through them.
And what you end up feeling is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You end up feeling brave. You end up feeling powerful. And those are just intoxicating.
Well, and those feelings are what drive you to be powerful when you lift, be powerful and strong when you move through life.
Yes.
To fight when you don't want to. So it's not like, ooh, Robin's going hoity-toity with the feelings. No, this is actually how you fucking do that shit.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't feel powerful, you will never be powerful. So you got to almost build up this, I won't call it fake belief in yourself, but this belief in that, oh yeah.
No, it's a true belief. Yeah. It's the belief that there's no end to your potential.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you put in, the more you can get out. And there is that, again, I'm just going to use that word intoxicating again. And it's just, it's something that I found with CrossFit. And it was those little intangible things that, you know, yes, I got stronger. Yes, I lost weight. But that feeling of being powerful, it's like, I don't ever want that to go away. And mm-hmm. that's probably the biggest fear. It's like, I don't want that to go away. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty cool. And there would be no power without that struggle and mm-hmm. without the discomfort. You have to go through the tunnel of chaos to come out the other side.
Yes, the tunnel of chaos.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what you call it, but that's my name for it. That's my visual.
I will ride with that one because yeah. it is beautiful in so many ways.
Glad you like it.
Yeah.
All right. That's it, I think.
I mean, there are so many ways you could spin this one, but the tunnel of chaos. And understanding that you can do hard things.
Mm-hmm.
The struggle is real. And that's what makes you better.
Yeah. And we're meant to be. And there's a point to it. We're not just trying to give you pain for pain's sake or to amuse us.
The only time we do that is when I have you throw the wall balls at one another, hoping that you hit the other person in the face.
Oh, that sounds like a fun game.
Yeah. When we play dodgeball with the wall balls.
No.
Then I'm actually trying to see you hurt someone. I hate
that. Don't even go down that.
Well, you'll notice that we haven't done that in any way, shape, or form in very, very long. And when we have done it, it's been very structured and
don't
safe.
Don't worry, so. Dear listeners. We are not going to play that game. All yes. right.
But if you do want us to play that game, I'm happy to hit you with a stick till I get tired.
Oh, my God. Embrace the struggle, but please stop short of self-harm.
I'm going to finish that so people don't think I'm actually crazy.
Okay.
This is the freaking difference that we do at this gym. We think through why we're struggling, how we're struggling, and what it's supposed to drive and change versus just trying to beat the hell out of you every
just
day.
Just pain for pain's sake.
Yes. Like, because trust me, my job would be so much easier if I just made every workout for pain's sake. No matter how sick and twisted you think all the workouts are, I promise you there's an intention, there's a strategy, there's a plan and a greater idea to all of it. And if I just wanted to make you hurt and make you feel pain, my job would be so much easier. Like,
is that how you want to end this podcast?
No.
Go out, therefore, and struggle.
Yes. Like,
seek discomfort.
Seek discomfort, learn to grow and develop in discomfort, and learn that hardship is good.
And let us know your struggles. Let us know. Tell us. We want to know because we're curious. But we also want to share that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us.
Also, we might help you solve that struggle.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe we'll just let you vent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that might be solving the struggle when you vent and get it out. That sometimes for some people, that is all they needed to get the struggle through.
We'll listen to you. We're here for you.
All right. Have fun, gang. Enjoy the struggle, and we'll see you next time.